think that it would be possible for Elijah to say, you know what, don't worry about it. Because I'm thinking that there was a time, remember when the fisherman needed some money to pay his taxes? What did Jesus say? Cast your net over on that side and try that for a bit. And he pulls up a fish, and guess what's in the fish's mouth? There's some money, right? Maybe it fell out of Jonah's pocket, I don't know. But we know that there could be a miracle like that. We know that another time when there was 5,000 people there and somebody had two loaves and two fishes and Jesus multiplied it and the need was met right away. But this woman, she needed some money. So the easiest thing would be for Elijah to say, you know what, don't worry about it. He reached into his bag and it multiplies and he gives her the money. No, he doesn't say that. He says, well, what do you have? She said, well, I've got a pot of oil. And that pot of oil, as she said, that was the only thing that she had in the house. So Elijah said this to her. He said, go and borrow some vessels. She might have wondered, well, vessels? What's that got to do with anything? I got the debt collector coming here, and I don't want to lose my two sons. I've got to pay this bill. What are the vessels for? But Elijah was giving her some instructions. He said, I want you to borrow the vessels, and then I want you to go, and I want you to ask all of your neighbors. Go to as many people as you can think of, and ask them to borrow vessels, empty vessels. And he said, don't borrow a few. So borrow a lot. He didn't tell them who to go to, right, specifically. He said, go to your neighbors, the people that are around you, and they would have no doubt known who she was, because they would have no doubt known who her husband was. And then he said, go and ask them to borrow empty vessels, and don't borrow a few, borrow a lot. But he didn't say, go and get 50 vessels or 20 vessels or one would be fine. No, go and borrow. So she was the one that was going to decide how many vessels that she was going to get. She was the one that was going to decide who she was going to go to and ask, her neighbors. Imagine if you've got a real need. If you think about the neighbors of people that are around you, probably somebody comes to mind right away, oh, I would go and see that person and I'll ask them to help, but I would never go down there. You know, like, can you see yourself being like that? I'm sure that she went through some of that as well. But see, Elijah was not going to just give her the solution just automatically. He was giving her something to do. He wanted her to be involved in this as well. So she's got to go and she's got to borrow some vessels. He doesn't tell her yet what that's for. And then she's got to go and talk to her neighbors. Can you imagine? Like, what did she say to her neighbors when she went? Do you have any empty vessels around? Well, what do you want them for? What does she say? How does she explain it? They know that she needs money. What's she want to do with the vessels, right? So she would have probably had to explain to them, to tell them what she was doing, about her encounter with Elisha, and she would explain, you know, that he'd asked her to do this, and she was believing that he was gonna help her. So, yes, she's supposed to go and get those vessels, but she's got nothing else, nothing else. She doesn't have any, doesn't say she has food, doesn't say she has money. She just said there's one pot and it's got a little bit of oil. Have you ever gotten to the place in your life where you didn't have anything else? Have you ever been there where you had nothing else? Have you? Like, if you think about this woman and what she was going through, there's a lot of similarities there between her life and sometimes what we've had to go through. I brought this with me today. This is a 25-cent coin. And it's got a little marker on it that I always know, so I know which coin it is exactly. And I've had this coin for 30 years. 30 years. One summer 30 years ago when I was working in Halifax, and I was going to a meeting, and I was working on commission. And, oh, it was a stressful day. And I was in a hurry, and I was going, and I was hoping to make a sale so I could get a paycheck and pay rent and buy food and all that stuff. And I got out of my car, and I reached into my pocket, and I walked up to the parking meter, and I pulled out this quarter, this exact quarter. And I went to put it in the meter, and suddenly a thought struck me. If I drop this quarter in this meter, I do not have any money in this world. This was it. I'd gone to the grocery store and bought some groceries, and I had no money in the bank. This was the only thing I had left. And I thought, if I drop this quarter in this meter, I'm going to be broke. And so I thought, I'm going to take a chance. And I reached back and I dropped it back into my pocket. And there it's been. And I've kept it all these years to remind me. And I kept it with me. And I'd take it out and I'd look at it. And I think you never want to get to that point again. That was 30 years ago. That woman was in a situation much worse than that, because even though I was broke at the time, I had a job. I had a way to get some income. But sometimes it seems like, and I'm sure you've been there too, you've gotten down to the last dime or the last straw or the last quarter. We've all, at some point or another, a lot of us have been in this position where she was. So God didn't, the prophet didn't give her an easy solution. He said, I want you to go and get some vessels. He gave her a job. So she had to go and she had to ask. She had to articulate what she was doing. He gave her a goal. Now she had to go, and she actually had to go and do something rather than the prophet doing it all for her. Have you ever had a goal? Anybody here ever had a goal? She's got a goal, right? Her goal is to get some vessels. But have you ever had a goal? Have you ever written that goal down? Have you ever told somebody about that goal? You see, it's one thing to have a goal. We've all got goals. In my work, I used to ask people, you know, what are your goals? Oh, I want to retire, and I want to be... Well, okay, tell me about that goal. When is it going to be? Oh, I don't quite know. Or how much are you putting toward? Well, you know, we're just kind of winging it. So a lot of people have goals, but they haven't really taken the time to really articulate what it is that they're trying to do. The prophet forced her to be able to do that because she had to go to her neighbors and ask for something specific, vessels, her neighbors. You know, this is just interesting bit of information. You know that they did a study of Harvard graduates? Anybody heard of Harvard? All right. Those are pretty high-octane people that are at Harvard. And they're pretty driven. They had goals. They looked at one class, and most of them had goals, only 3% of those people had actually articulated them and written them down. 3%. 10 years later, that 3% had 90% of the net worth of that class. 90%. 90%. So, because you had to grow, you had to think, you had to put some thought behind it. So Elijah was telling her, I want you to go and I want you to ask your neighbors. And he said, don't borrow a few. Borrow not a few. Borrow a lot. So here, she is given an opportunity to decide how big the blessing is going to be. She's given it's in her hands. It's up to her. If she gets just a couple of pots, a couple of vessels, she's only going to have a few vessels of oil. It's because we know how the story ends up. But he says, don't get a few, get a lot. So now it's up to her. What kind of vision does she have? What is she willing to do? How many vessels is she willing to get? She doesn't know yet what's going to happen. She hasn't seen it. But he says, I want you to go and I want you to get the vessels. So he gave her a job, right? Go and do it. So we know that she did do that. When I read this, it reminded me of when I was a kid, and one summer, me and my three brothers and I, rather, is the best way to say that, we had a Volkswagen van, and my mother would drive us around, and we'd go out the highway, and she'd drop one off on this side of the road, and that and the other, and we'd walk up and collect bottles. And that was our summer job that year. And at the end, by the time school came in September, when you went down in our basement, there was only a path going through. Just a path. And they called the scrapyard, and the guy came with his half-ton truck, and he filled it twice. And I remember getting, like, more money than I'd ever thought was actually in the world. It was 20 bucks or something, I don't know, back then. But it was a lot of money, right? But our vision was big. We went, and we were enthusiastic about it. We got as many bottles as we possibly could because we knew that we were going to sell them, and we were going to have some money. And so Elisha said to her, go and get some vessels, don't get a few. So we know that she went out and she got some vessels, but she determined how many vessels that she would get. Okay, and then he says, look, and when thou art come in, so once you've done all that, you've collected your vessels, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. You know, sometimes, especially in the country, we all know what a barn raising is, right? You've got maybe a barn is burnt down, and the farmer's got some problems, and all the neighbors come, and they chip in, and they bring some food, and they work really hard, and over the weekend, they raise the barn. Sometimes the whole community shows up and they raise the burn. That wasn't happening for this widow. She's the one that had to go and get the vessels. She's the one that had to bring them back to the house. And then Elisha says, now, don't be doing this with everybody. Don't do it in your front yard. Not like a yard sale. Close your door. Just you and your sons, once you get all the vessels in the house, close the door. And then pour out the oil into all the vessels. He gave her another job. Now she's got all these vessels that are there in the house. And now he says, I want you to pour the oil into those vessels. And she does that when there's nobody else looking. And sometimes we find ourselves in life, you know, we've got a problem. And I see the solution that's there. But sometimes you have to walk that road on your own. Sometimes everybody else is busy doing their stuff. And it's up to you. If it's to be, it's up to me. Is a phrase that I've heard a lot. Years ago. If it's to be, it's up to me. Sometimes God says, okay, here's the solution. You got to roll your sleeves up and you got to get out and do it. Even though nobody's there and nobody else sees it, you're the one that's going to do it. Even if you're behind closed doors and nobody else knows how much you have to work. If it's to be, it's up to me. And so she closed the door. Her and her sons start pouring the oil. And we know she needed her sons because when we're doing all this, the reason why Elisha wanted them to close is the sons were there. The sons are bringing the vessels to her. And she started pouring the oil out of her pot and into the vessels. Now, some theologians, they think there's a difference between the pot and a vessel. Oil was very common back in those days. It was a very valuable substance, and they used oil for cooking. They used it for many things. So the vessels that she got would have been utilitarian vessels. You'd have it in your. Think about going to Costco and buying a jar of olive oil. It's like that big, right? It's there and it's in the pantry and you use it all the time. It's part of what you use. But there was also oil that was used like myrrh, like for scents and those kinds of things. The more delicate oil that wasn't for cooking. It wasn't utilitarian. It was something special. So some theologians think she had a small pot. Of oil. And Elisha said, I want you to go get some vessels. And so there was a difference. They think the pot was small, but the vessel was large. And so she needed her sons to bring the vessels because there was no social network there. There was no Canada pension plan. There was no survivor's benefit. There was no OAS bridge. There was no old age security. There was none of that. There was no employment insurance. She had her sons there to help her, and that was it. So she started pouring in the oil from the pot to the vessels. So this was not something that just happened right away. Elijah just didn't wave a magic wand. He gave her a job to do. And the next verse that we read back in verse 6, here's these words. It says, and it came to pass. Now, when you read those things, and it came to pass, It's like, okay, we finally arrived here, but there was a bit of time before this. It came to pass, 600 years after the prophet prophesied, you know, and it came to pass in the fullness of time, God sent his son. Like, it came to pass this is something that was a while in the making. And so it said, and it came to pass. So finally, after whatever, you know, that work, it came to pass that the vessels were full. And then when she filled the last one, she was involved in what she was doing. She was no doubt thrilled because she knew how valuable oil was. And she turns to her son and she said, bring me another one. And he said, there's no more. You see, at this point, she could not say to her two boys, I want you guys to go out and get more vessels right away. No, because it says then, the oil stayed. It was done. It was predetermined by the amount of vessels that she got based on what Elijah had told her to do. And you know what? You and I are a lot like that. God says to us, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. God says to us, I've given you all things pertaining to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. God says to us, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed and say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be moved. God says to us, you can do anything you set your mind to, and I will help you. But there's a very real fact that you and I are the ones that decide how many vessels we are going to go out and get. It's really up to us to believe how big our God is. It's really up to us to believe how much we can accomplish with this precious gift of life that God has given to us. Just like he said to the widow, you go out, don't get a few, get a lot. But it was up to her how many she got. If she would have rolled up an oil tanker, it had been filled. Right? If she'd have just got enough to fill to put on top of the tables in her kitchen, they would have been filled. If she just went out and got one, said, oh, one's good enough. Because she didn't know what was going to happen, right? One's good enough. It would have been filled, just the one. But no, it stayed. So it's up to us, just like it was up to her. What are you going to do with the time that you have? I remember I was in the investment industry for years, and I remember being at a conference, and a gentleman was talking, and he said, I told my friend, my good friend in the business, that I was going to take my, I don't know what course it was, a CLU, whatever it was, I was going to take this course. And my friend said to me, I don't know what his name was, but I'll just use Joe. Joe, you'll be 65 years old when you finally get that designation. And I looked at him, he was 60 at the time. I looked at my friend, I said, well, how old will I be in 5 years if I don't do it? Right? It was up to him. It was up to him to decide to do that. It's up to you to decide what you want. It's up to you to decide how big you can dream. Right? Where will you be in 5 years if you don't? Versus where will you be in 5 years if you do? I heard another gentleman give a talk, and he said, you know, a fellow told me, he said that he decided not to take up the piano. He said, I decided not to take up the piano because it takes 10 years to learn how to play it well. Ironically, I made that decision 10 years ago. It's up to you. Really, it's up to you to how many vessels you're going to get. And then we read at the end, and she came and told the man of God after she'd done all that. You think that after all of that, that Elisha's going to say, hey, good job, I was just testing you. Here's the money for the debt collector. No, that's not what happened at all. And he said, go sell the oil and pay the debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. So now Elisha has given her another job. Now she's all of a sudden, she's a wholesaler for oil. Right? Now she's got a new job. Now she's in the sales. She never knew that she was a salesperson. Right? She never knew that. She never knew that she was a warehouser for olive oil. She could probably open her own business after that. But no, he says, now what you're going to do is you're going to take that oil. Now I'm going to think that she went out and she got a lot of vessels. Because not only was there enough to pay the debt off, the debt was substantial enough that those two boys of hers were going to go into slavery and they're going to work until they paid the debt off. And there was going to be enough from the sale of the oil that once the debt was paid off, there was going to be enough money. Now the boys don't have to go. Anybody here have a teenage boy or a young man? Try to feed them? You ever? Those five boys and two girls in my family, and there was Bobby, Gary, Danny, and then there was two girls. So when I was like 13, there was a 12, an 11, and a 10-year-old. I remember each of us at a point, each drank a quart of milk every meal. Like I said to my parents, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I had no idea. Right? So there was enough money then for those boys, for her and them to live. For them until they got out and got a job or whatever it was, and for her to live into her retirement. So she collected a lot of oil. He gave her a job. And now she has to go out and she has to sell the oil. And of course, she's going to pay her debt off. So this was a story that, you know, here she is, she has a need. And the need is, I need some money. But the prophet, God through the prophet, didn't say, oh no, just cut her a check. No, he didn't. He wanted her to grow. He wanted her to follow a certain path. He wanted her to roll her sleeves up and to do it. He helped. Yes, he did. There was a miracle there where the oil from the little pot filled the vessels of oil. But she had to do everything else or that wouldn't have happened. And so wherever you are in your life, whether you are that young boy, whether you are that widow, whether you are in midlife, and doing whatever it is that you need to do. Wherever you are, and whatever your circumstance in life, I got a question for you. How many jars are you going to collect? How big are you going to dream? And even though you might not see the answer, how big are you going to dream? How many jars are you going to go out and get? How much effort are you willing to put into your future and your sustenance? It's really up to you. You can decide, oh, yeah, I don't have a lot of talent, and oh, I just live in the country in Prince Edward Island, you know, and at the end of the country in a little place. You hardly notice on the map, it's so small when you look at them, right? Or, you know, nobody in my family has ever been to university. Nobody has a good job. It's just the way it is with me and my, no, you decide. You decide. This widow, she is an example to all of us. She's an example that if we roll our sleeves up and if we believe big and we follow God's direction and God's guidance and the guidance and the help of those around us, because she had to listen to the prophet. She could have said, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He prayed for my nephew last month and my nephew still limps. He doesn't know what he's talking about. No, she could. No. The prophet gave her some instructions and she followed. Not just once, right? Not just twice, but three things. Go get some vessels. Take that little pot and fill it. That was until, you know, and it came to pass. She did it for a while. It was a job. Not twice, but after all that was done, now I want you to go out and I want you to sell it. And when she did, the debt was paid off. And she had the money there for her life and to help her sons out as well. So how many jars are you going to get? Can we stand? Father in heaven, I thank you so very much for your goodness towards us. I thank you for your blessing. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that we know that if we till the ground and we put a seed in it and we nurture it, we know that it will grow. We know that it will bring forth fruit. We know that there's a result, Lord, when we put ourselves to it. We know that you are a rewarder of those that diligently seek you. We know these things in our minds. Father, help us to believe. And if there's somebody here today that is standing at the point in their life where they're just trying to decide what's around the corner for them, what the future holds for them, I pray that you give that spark of faith to help each and every one of us believe, to believe in your bigness, to believe in your power, to believe in your goodness, to believe that you believe in us. Help us, Lord, to see beyond the quick fix. Help us, Lord, to apply our hearts, to put our hand to the plow, to put our hand to the task, and do it until we see the results that we desire. I pray this, Father, in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.